It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 540. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Please leave me a voicemail. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. And also Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. And Mike Nation Net on Facebook. You can also check out the wiki at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows. You'll find links to the audio, the show notes. It's a great resource. I have, again, a jam-packed show. I have a lot to talk about tonight. I want to go over some problems that I've been running into with some clients. I want to talk about the new Microsoft Surface 3. As you all know, I'm a Surface Pro 3 owner, so I have some concerns about some of their models, and I'm going to talk about that. And hopefully, anybody who's interested, I'm going to steer you to a certain model. Then I have some Windows 10 info. I have some info that I want to, some questions for everybody that I want to put out there about a possible meetup in October. I need to get a feel for how many people can make this particular venue and stay at the resort that we're thinking of. Before we get started, I want to talk about Instant House Call, who's the sponsor of the Mike Tech Show. We thank them for continuing to sponsor the show. I use Instant House Calls, you know, every single day to support my clients. And there is an incredible new feature that's just been added, and it's called subaccounts. A subaccount for a machine, if you put unattended access on a particular computer, the owner of that machine, besides you, you can create a sub-account. Now that user can log in using the specialist app and can control their computer. An example, I have a client that the owner of the business has 5 or 6 computers that are used by the employees. I have remote access to all of them. Now, I can't give him access to my Instant House Call account because then he would have access to all of my clients. But I can create a sub-account, add it to a couple of these computers for him to be able to remote in, and he can remote in and take control of the computer. It actually saves money on having a second remote control solution on that computer, and you can now do it directly from Instant House Call. I'm going to have a link to where you can read more about this support, and you can try it free for 15 days. You can kick the tires, check it out, test everything I'm talking about. Go to instanthousecall.com or click on the link on my left-hand side of the website at miketechshow.com. And remember, when you're filling out the info for your free trial, to use the promo code Mike Tech Show. So give that a try, and I know you'll be back to purchase it. Want to first mention that I was away last week, and it was nice to take a break. I so desperately need it. I've been almost burning out, working night and day to help my clients, and I have some big projects coming up this month that I'm beginning this weekend and the following weekend, where I have a major upgrade for a client. You heard me mention some of that info. I needed to get away for a few days, and it did a world of good, because not only was I at a breaking point of just going nuts and burning out. But knowing all this work that's ahead of me now for the next month, for a very, very, very busy schedule, that I just needed that break. And I was able to go to Florida and actually took in a Phillies game for the spring training. And my wife and I just had a great time. The weather was gorgeous and I didn't want to return. So, but now that I'm back, I am fully thrusted into working and helping my clients. And now faced with everything and the projects, real quick, last night, Ryan, my middle son, and I performed the unboxing of all of the hardware. I have 19 monitors, 12 computers, a server, and three huge dual monitor stands, all from Dell, all delivered at different times. And now everything was stacked in this one cubicle where they were holding everything for me to now take care of. And last night, Ryan and I, each armed with our box cutters, opened up every box to check everything out, assembled all 19 monitors and got them set up in just one location, unboxed all of the small footprint 7020 Dells, and they are 256 gig SSDs, really nice video card, 8 gigs of RAM, running Windows 8.1 Pro 64-bit, have a new Dell server. Now that that's all unboxed, this weekend I am setting up a separate network that will not touch the production network. And I'm going to configure the server and get all the workstations announced to the domain and get every workstation as best as I can configured for the following weekend, which is when we swap out everything. And that's when I'm going to be using Fab's Auto Backup 6 Pro to get the settings and to get the desktop files and the browser settings and some critical info from each of those desktops from all the users, save that on USB sticks, then swap out the computers, swap out the server, and then use Fabs again to put that information back, then start testing everything. I got some long weekends for work ahead of me, not just this weekend, but the following weekend. That's going to monopolize literally my Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week. And I know it's Easter and I know it's Good Friday tomorrow, but I'm working through it because of this project. It's very, very important. Before I go any further with any technical stories and email, I have been discussing with Corey, the owner of Instant House Call, the possibility of a meetup in Lake Placid, New York this October, where the meetup could be, remember, could be the following. It would be Mike Tech Show meetup where we would be doing, I'd be doing, you know, a nice long Mike Tech Show. A Tech Vets meetup where if I can get Carrie out there, we would do a Tech Vets show. We could have some other speakers, and it depends on how many people could make it. The resort is a gorgeous resort that you would have literally a room that would be a suite at the rate of $195 a night. But you could have not only your whole family, but you could also have multiple listeners here could get together and share a suite, and it would be very comfortable. So you could be able to share the expense. Getting there, if you're in driving distance, so from Philadelphia, it's a six-hour drive. Flying there is not easy. It's a challenge. So here's what I want everybody to do. Take a look. Could you make it, and would you be able to stay at the resort? I'm going to include a link to the resort in the show notes. And if you think you could make it and would want to and have any suggestions also about this meetup, please email me, miketechshow@gmail.com. And let me know that you could be going. I'm not going to hold anybody to this. I just want to know that you could or would consider making it so we can get a rough count, because that count will actually enable us to get better discounts, planning. We also could get some speakers based on this. So I just want to feel this out. We have some time, but if you can get back to me and I will coordinate everything and we'll take it from there. Let me know if you think you could make Lake Placid that's Lake Placid, New York, in October. It's a great resort. I had some great feedback from Corey from Instant House Call, who has been there and has enjoyed the venue. Is a very nice venue. And if we can pull this off, boy, I would love to see that we could get 40 bodies there and make this work. And it would be a great conference. That, remember, your expenses to go there, since this is a technical conference, you can write that off as a educational expense. Keep that in mind, that you will be able to deduct this and the expenses for this. Let's keep going. Couple things. Been running into a Java problem. Now, I don't know if it was a certain 8.0 release or just how much, just what's been going on. There's only one way that I've seen to properly solve this. I've logged in to the system that was having the Java problem, and I would remove all instances of Java, especially if it was just Java 7. Then I would go to Ninite and pick Java to install, so this way you don't get any of the unwanted software. You don't get any junk, and you just get the 32 and 64-bit versions of Java 8 and have it installed. Now, if there are particular websites that you're having Java errors, you need to be able to go into the Java control panel, and you just open up control panel and click Java. Then, under security, there's an exception site list. And you can edit that site list and add everything that you want into that list. And it works great. One of the problems that I've ran into, personally on my machine, my Java control panel would no longer work. I had to just remove all the Java instances, just like I talked about, install the new Java, and then control panel worked. I don't know if it was a particular combination of programs or something that was running and there was just a certain version of Java that just made it where my control panel for Java would not launch no matter what I would do. And I've rebooted clean and then tried to launch it. It just wouldn't work. So just remember to repair it, remove everything, reinstall it. All should be well. And if you have any sites that are having any kind of issues, add that as an exception and put that in there, and you're not going to have any problem. And remember, Ninite, that is my go-to website for installing all of the free programs that you want to install when you have a new computer. Anytime I'm faced with a new system or a new install, the first thing I do is go to Ninite and I install Java 7-zip, whether the user needs Chrome or Firefox or both, all VLC for video. So this way you don't have to worry about codecs, because VLC just plays all video, all movies, anything that you ever run into. You'll never have to worry. It'll always play. There's so many great programs, Adobe Reader. The one annoyance is Adobe Flash was removed and they never put it back. You have to make a separate trip to Adobe.com to install Flash. Everything else you can install. Love Ninite. And anytime I have to reinstall something, I go there. I also use that to install Security Essentials if it's Windows 7 and, of course, Malwarebytes. You just click all of those programs you want. You get one installer and then you launch it, and it installs everything in the proper order, and it saves you so much time for checking the boxes that you of unwanted software and add-ins that they want to always push down your throat. You don't have to. Let's move on. Interesting error that I got when I was on site with one of my clients. A user was printing a PDF to an HP printer, and they kept getting the error, insufficient memory on the printer, and he would get, as the page would print, it would say printer error, PCL, XL error, and an insufficient memory. Here's something you need to be careful. You want to make sure what is the default font that's trying to print that may not be compatible, or your printer settings or the driver may not be able to handle what you're sending it. The printer, we can't expand the memory for this HP LaserJet. It is what it is. So I had him redirect printing it to a big Carasea printer that we also have on site, and it printed fine. So there was no real printer error. There was no driver error. It was this particular PDF and the fonts that was being used as default within this PDF that he was sent by someone from outside the company, but he had to print it. So it's just one of those annoyances that I could have changed the driver to accommodate this, but I didn't want to make that change for him because of all the other things he might print. You don't want to make changes just because of one issue where you could create a problem for several more. So I always have to weigh that. If we were able to work around a problem and get it to print on another printer, fine. Do I want to spend any more time and try to make this work on this one printer for this one particular PDF that we may never see again with that particular font? It's not worth chasing that down. But I just wanted to mention, sometimes it's better to just let it go if it's just a one-off issue rather than just suck up all your time. And it was easier to just send it to another printer. Anyway, ran into that on Tuesday with a client. Tomorrow, my son and I, and I'm going to try to get a before and after picture, we're heading to a new client where I seen the picture of the wiring mess that looks like one of those cabling and wiring nightmares that you've seen on Facebook or the internet. It is a mess. So I'm bringing lots of tie wraps and my network gear to tone out any of the wires. And we're just going to tackle. I'm also going to bring my power liberators. And we're just going to attack it one wire at a time and get it all cleaned up, get it all neat, and make it nice. Hopefully I'll have a before and after picture of this. This could take 4 or 5 hours tomorrow, I'm thinking, of just this particular cleanup. And I've seen the picture, and there was part of me that said, there was a little voice in me as I was looking at this picture saying, Mike, do not try this job. Just sometimes it's better to walk away. And then I looked closer, and a lot of it, I think, can be eliminated just as I was looking at the router and the access point and all the different things that were, they were just piled on and connected, and nobody took the time to label anything or properly run the power cords and organize them and tie wrap anything. So when I started opening up the picture and going into more detail, because I'm looking at this from a picture on an iPhone, and I started zooming in more and more, and I started looking at everything, it didn't seem as bad as when you look at it from far away. I was able to catch a lot of what's going on, and I felt confident that with me and someone else helping me, that I should be able to do this. Some flashlights, some tie wraps, some patience, and I think I can get this all cleaned up. And then, of course, my brother P-Touch labeler, which is very important because any of the equipment that we see, any of the power cords, we are labeling everything. So this way, it's going to be very easy for anybody to trace in the future, and it's going to look neat and tidy. Part of tomorrow's job. That's the first job. And then we're going to be setting up the new the server on the test network. So I have a switch. I have an 8-port KVM, and I'm going to line up 8 computers with the server, get them all connected on the same network, and then start working and pushing out all the software and all the things that I need. And I'm doing this all from one cube. So that should be interesting. You need to get a picture of that. If you follow me on Facebook, last Monday, Verizon came out and installed my new Quantum service. And it, interesting, tonight, I wanted to know, I have 300 meg down. Actually, to be exact, 314 meg down and 350 meg up for my speed right now. Clearly, bandwidth cannot be an issue for anything that I'm doing here, audio or video. It can't be. It's impossible to have that kind of bandwidth and to have bandwidth be a question at all as to the quality of the audio or the video. If there's a problem, it lies elsewhere in my equipment and its configuration. So one of the things that when I was away last week, and I'm kind of mixing stories here, I was able to meet up with an old friend, Steve Cherubino, and we spent 6 hours talking when I got down there to Clearwater, Florida area. And it was such a pleasure meeting with Steve, seeing what he's up to. And he is an audio video master. And one of the things that I am going to do, and he promised he's going to help me out, I'm sending him the information of the equipment I have and some of the issues that I'm having. And Steve's going to take a look at that, and he can remote in and we can act and talk, and he's going to help me through some configurations possibly. So I might be tweaking the audio and video on a future show based on Steve Cherubino's comments. It was just a great pleasure to see Steve again, because he lived in Philadelphia, and some of you may remember I had some really enjoyable shows called Philly Tech Guys, and it was great. We had a great time, and I'm looking forward to talking further with Steve, and you know, who knows, maybe we'll try to do something together. I can't even have time to meet with Carrie, and here I am talking about doing something with Steve, but it's my time has been so precious and so hard to get together, and that's why there hasn't been a Tech Vets for a few weeks, because it's not because of Carrie, it's because of me. I have not been available. I've been working evenings catching up with clients, so my nights and days have been just so busy, and so there's no free time. I hope to be able to get back on the horse with Carrie as early as next week. Probably the week after is more likely. Want to talk about the Microsoft Surface 3 that was announced that will be available in May. It's a slimmed down version of the Surface Pro 3. The Surface Pro 3 is a 12-inch display. This one is a little smaller. It is a 10.8-inch display. It weighs only 1.37 pounds. The resolution's 1920 by 1280, where the Surface Pro 3 is just a ridiculous 2160 by 1440. It's gorgeous. Here is my advice. They have a $499 version, and it comes with 64 gig SSD and only 2 gigs of RAM. Please do not consider getting that for $499 when you can just spend $100 more and get for $599, 128 gig hard drive, and 4 gigs of RAM. You should not be running Windows 7 or Windows 8 with anything less than 4 gigs of RAM. I don't care how small the device is. I don't care what you're doing. The minimum requirement is 4 gig. Shame on Microsoft for offering 2 gig. I think they got this right. And you know I love my Surface Pro 3. The only way to get it from me is you will have to pry it out of my cold, dead hands. I love the Surface Pro 3. But 64 gig for the hard drive is not big enough. 2 gig of RAM is not enough. So please consider the 128 gig and hard drive and the 4 gig Wi-Fi version. Or if you want for a couple hundred more or whatever you need for, you can get the 4G LTE version. There's a couple differences. You only have three positions of the kickstand, where the Surface Pro 3, you have full motion. You can actually, the kickstand can move to any position, where here you only got three positions. You get a free year of Office 365, which I think is the personal version, which I think is great. You still have to buy your pen and your cover, or not the pen, but you have to buy the cover. Keyboard is separate. Remember, the accessories for the Surface Pros and the Surface, they are very expensive. It's nice to see a trimmed down, less expensive version. Glad to see that, because I always thought the Surface Pro 3, as great as it is, it's way overpriced. It's very expensive. And when you got to add on all of the extras, if you need a docking station, you only get one USB port. So you're forced into getting the Bluetooth mouse, because you don't want to waste that for your one USB port. And one of the things that I've enjoyed is I just wish there was one more USB port, because I need Ethernet whenever I'm on site with someone. So one of the things I've had to do is I've had to get the Ethernet USB adapter from Microsoft, and then now my USB port's taken up. So I've had to make decisions based on where I'm at and what I'm doing, because I only have that one USB port. You can get a hub, but then that gets ugly when you start moving certain devices off the hub or not. Or let's say I want to hook up an external drive, or there's a zillion things you want to add to a USB. And hubs don't lend themselves properly to certain devices, depending on what you want to connect. It's not the solution for everything. Keep that in mind. If you are interested in a full laptop and a tablet, I think the Microsoft Surface line of systems are phenomenal. If you have the money and you can do it, get the Pro. If on a budget and you want to save some money and you can live with 128 gig hard drive and 4 gigs of RAM, then you have, for $599, you have the Surface 3. It's going to be released, I think, May 15th. Give that a shot. One of the other things, my Surface Pro 3, I went right in the middle for the different models. The highest end that you can get is a Core i7 with a 512 gig hard drive, but only 8 gigs of RAM. Now, I had to have 8 gig as a minimum. So I went down a notch and just went with the Core i5 and 256 gig for the SSD. For me, on a laptop, and this is just the way I operate, 256 is the smallest I'll go on a hard drive for a laptop. So that's one of the things that you have to consider. How are you going to work? How are you going to use it? What are you putting on it? And for presentations and for ease of carrying, Microsoft got it right. This is a really nice unit. As we talk about Microsoft, and this next link I want to thank Corey from Instant House Call who provided me with this as we were talking about Windows 10 and the rollout. Something I did not realize, and I have an upgrade matrix here available for everybody to look at, and this is care of Computer World. And one of the things you want to take a look at is if you have Windows 7 or Windows 8.1 update, when you look at this matrix, you will receive the update via Windows Update. So that's interesting. You're going to be able to go from Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, and you're going to be able to go right to Windows 10 through Windows Update. Now, I strongly recommend before you would dare apply that update or allow that update to happen that you get a full system backup. Get a full image. Whether you're using Windows 7 or Windows 8, the default program in there, whether you use Acronis, Shadow Protect, I don't care what you use, get a full system image before you dare attempt this update when they are going to push it. You just know it. You can see the magnitude of issues that's going to happen. Now, me, when I'm doing a Windows upgrade, if I'm going to a new version number, I'd never do an in-place update. I want to do a fresh install. So it's going to be very interesting. I will set up myself in a lab environment here, a couple systems, one being Windows 7 SP1 with all the latest hot fixes and updates. I'm going to have a Windows 8.1 update, and I will try Windows updates on both of them and just to see how they work out. So that's what's nice sometimes, having a few extra computers laying around that clients have disposed of or gotten rid of, and I'll be able to test. It's free if you upgrade in the first year. If you have Windows 7 or Windows 8.1 update, you'll be able to upgrade free for 12 months, and then that's it. If you don't take advantage of that upgrade, it's no longer free. You'll have to pay for it. I mean, we're playing right now with the preview of Windows 10. I like it already, so I'm looking forward to Windows 10. I'm on board. I do not like Windows 8.1, although I tolerate it. I have it on a couple systems. I'm rolling out Windows 8.1 on these 12 new desktops for my client that I talked about. Windows 8.1 can be tamed using the classic shell, suppressing the Metro interface. If you don't have a touchscreen, it's very difficult to embrace that modern interface, Metro interface, whatever you want to call it. It's very tough to embrace if you don't have a touchscreen. And that's one of the things I've been seeing with all of my corporate clients. Nobody wants to go Windows 8.1. I'm going to see probably a massive update of everybody that has Windows 7 leap over Windows 8.1 and go right to Windows 10. I'm going to quote someone in the chat, Audio Murphy, where he said, "Rest in peace, Internet Explorer." That is absolutely incorrect. Internet Explorer is not going away. Microsoft is adding a second browser right now, codenamed Spartan. They are not getting rid of Internet Explorer. As a matter of fact, they can't. They would be beat up so bad by such huge clients. And I know of a mega client that has 20,000 workstations that they have to use Internet Explorer. They have no choice. Their software is designed around it. They absolutely have to do this. Companies of that size would come down and crush Microsoft if they were to get rid of Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer will just not be updated as often as it is. You will have Internet Explorer because the market demands it. There are too many legacy websites and applications designed around Internet Explorer that Microsoft cannot get rid of it. It's going to be impossible. What you're going to see is Internet Explorer, and then you're also going to see this Spartan, which is a stripped down, trimmed version of Internet Explorer to compete with Firefox and Chrome and Opera and all your other browsers. So I like that. Keep Internet Explorer for those that need it, and then, hey, offer an alternative within your operating system. I like that. I'm looking forward to that. Let's get to some email here. This is from Sherwin. Hi, Mike. Longtime listener of the show and just never wrote in before. As it relates to charging a client, do you normally bill for doing a technology assessment, then provide the client with a list of issues and the cost to address those issues, an assessment report of sorts? Or do you conduct a free estimate and document all issues, then provide hours required along with the cost and address those issues? I will never do a free technology assessment. I will charge my full rate to do the assessment, but with the following. If they become a retainer client at a reduced hourly rate, I will credit them for the difference in the hourly rate that I charged for the assessment versus the new retainer rate. So let's say it took 10 hours to do an assessment, and I charge an extra $25 an hour. I'll give them a credit of $250 if they sign on as a retainer, because my retainer rate is $25 less than my full rate that I charge when someone's not a retainer. I'm just using that as an example, and that's how I approach, but I will not do a free assessment because there's too much information. I'm usually giving them on a silver platter what they need to do for their solution. If I did that for nothing, all they would have to do is take my assessment, hand it to another tech who's half my rate, and say, here, implement this. I will charge my full rate. Now, that doesn't work for everybody and every area of the country. And you know, I don't know what your market is and what it can tolerate. And if you have lots of competition and they're offering free assessments, well, you might have to. So for me, I charge my rate for any technical assessment. Sherwin, thank you for the question. This is from Gerald. Hi, Mike. I've been one of your invisible followers for several years now, following and feeling the pain and joy of your journey since you were displaced. And he's referring to my leaving the corporate world in 2008. I'm an enterprise admin with a multinational bank in the UK. My team supports several hundred thousand servers worldwide. You would think things would be different in a massive enterprise, but as I'm sure you know, we all face the same problems, just on a different scale. Good processes should always scale. Absolutely. Thanks for letting us join in your journey. It sounds strange to say, but I'm sure all your followers like me feel invested into your endeavors. Thank you for what you do, Jerry. Jerry, thank you so much for that, those kind words. I really appreciate it. And good luck on your journey with the admin challenges of such a large infrastructure. I know what you're going through. Been there. This is from Paco. Hi, Mike. We are currently in the process of migrating Windows Server 2003 Small Business to Windows Server 2012 Essentials. I could not find the episode on the tool you use to complete the migration of the server, data, Active Directory, etc. I assumed FABS Auto Backup Pro 6 can do this. It absolutely cannot. That is not what FABS auto backup is for, and I'm going to clarify that. And wanted to check in with you first. Love the show and thanks. Paco, first, Fab's Auto Backup for Tech is a workstation only program to migrate profile settings from one system to another, from one operating system to another. It is not for a server. Well, I mean, you could use it for the to just move the admin profile of a server, but I wouldn't recommend it. To migrate from small business server down to regular server, depending on how big it is and how many users, there's no magic tool to do this migration. It's manual. As a matter of fact, I'm right now, the project that I'm talking about where I'm going to be replacing the server, I'm going from Small Business Server 2008 and I'm going to Windows Server 2012. You know how I'm doing the migration? I'm recreating Active Directory from scratch. I'm recreating the dozen user accounts and I'm migrating the files. It's so much simpler to do it from scratch than to migrate. I don't have a lot of permissions. I only have 3 shares on the server with 3 different sets of permissions. There's not a lot of groups. There's no email involved here. My decision on the migration path is to just do it from scratch. And I've actually done that, even going from Small Business Server 2003 to Small Business Server 2011. I recreated it from scratch and it was so much easier. I went through 5 years ago, with the help of Winston Wolf, the migration using the Microsoft migration tools to migrate from Small Business Server 2003 to Small Business Server 2008. And that was no picnic. That was a painful weekend to do that migration. Sometimes having a migration tool doesn't help you. Now, if you have thousands of users, which you're not going to have on Small Business Server anyway, that's too many users. If you have a lot of users, you might want to look at a script that could import the users and those settings, and you may find it easier to work with some scripts and some third-party tools. But I have not talked about any. So I would like your feedback from anybody that's in the same seat as us here, doing server migrations. What are you using? What are your tools? Because based on the size of the business and the companies that I'm dealing with, it's easier for me to do it from scratch. And I will say this, on companies that I've inherited the server and the way it was already misconfigured by my predecessor, I look at the opportunity of setting up everything fresh, new, and doing it the right way under my control and doing it from scratch. I find that better. I noticed you mentioned Windows Essentials, Windows 2012 Essentials. I have had the misfortune of installing that for a small company, and to save the pennies on the operating system, it wasn't worth it because Essentials takes the control out of your hands for settings and setting it up. Now, I've deployed 2012 Essentials and 2012 Standard. I'll take Standard anytime, day, night, no matter what, and I will never deploy Essentials again because of those settings and those controls being, those initial things being taken out of my hands and just automatically set. I don't like that. I want full control of my settings. And that's important. Now, that doesn't meet everybody's requirement that's in the sound of my voice. Take it from me, someone who supports a lot of small businesses, and it just wasn't worth the couple $100 we saved in the server licensing for deploying Essentials. So I'll never do that again. It's always 2012 Standard. This is from Mike and talked about what's the best way to run programs where you have a legacy program and you're trying to run it in Windows 7 or Windows 8 and he recommended DOSBox, which is phenomenal. And DOSBox works with this one program, this legacy application that I have for a client. I installed DOSBox, then I had this little directory with the DOS program, and it launched immediately. It was very simple, very quick. DOSBox is the answer. Now, in the pre-show tonight, someone sent me a link on how to print to a file from within DOSBox, which is the next part of the solution for my client. And I'm going to be testing that out, and I'll report back on it. So this is, love the show, and I use the program for running old DOS programs. Also, on the topic of not getting paid or being appreciated for what we do, a CEO at a company I had worked at wondered why I was at my desk most of the time and not out wandering the halls. My boss at the time said to me, IT guys are like air conditioner repair guys. If everything is working, nobody sees you unless there is a problem. When I was at my desk, I was watching the servers and workstations and learning new things to help the company run better. If you are putting out fires all the time, then there's a problem. I like the saying, be proactive rather than reactive. I have been in the IT field for almost 30 years now and have seen a lot. I still learn things all the time, and I learn a lot from your show and Tech Vets. Thank you for all you give to us. Well, thank you, Mike, for the kind words. And I, too, learn something every day. For the many, many years that I've been in this business and I've been doing this podcast for 10 years, I learn something every day. And you have to like learning to be in this business, because you want to just absorb everything that you can. And that's how I am with utilities and software and programs. I want to absorb everything. And you have to be like a sponge all the time. Start to wrap up. This is from Andy, and it's HIPAA regulations relating to printers. And I have never heard this, and I'm looking for some feedback. Please refer to the email below where there was a print audit that printers are required to meet HIPAA regulations in a similar way as a workstation. Can you validate or refute this claim? And this is an assessment by a company that's claiming that HIPAA regards printers as copiers in exactly the same way that it does workstations. This means that all printers and copiers need to be able to authenticate who is doing what on them. In other words, track usage down to the user level. That's very difficult in some situations. We showed this to premier members of ours who happened to have an appointment with a hospital the same day. He literally walked through with this contact pointing at devices saying, that one's illegal, so's that one, and this one. How are printers rolled into HIPAA compliance? I need to research this because I have two retainer clients that fall under HIPAA regulations and HIPAA compliance. And I am not totally, I would say we're probably halfway there where we do have permissions on the drivers on the ability to print to the printers. We do have an audit trail. So I don't know how much this is required, or is this a scare tactic to get more work from a technical organization, a consulting firm? Anybody that is involved in HIPAA and you have details on this, please let me know. I'm going to research this more, Andy, and I will get back to you and report back to everyone on printing and how it relates to HIPAA compliance. And please remember, if you are purchasing anything from Amazon or know anybody purchasing from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.mikenation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the Mike Tech Show, and I so greatly appreciate the use of my Amazon link, and that's amazon.mikenation.net. Please remember to support Instant House Call. Sign up for the free 15-day trial. That's at instanthousecall.com and use the promo code MikeTechShow. Also, Fab's Auto Backup for Tech. The link will be in the show notes. Great program for transferring your profile settings and information from one system to another. And that's it for tonight's show. I'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.